sure I'm not getting any
collateral sound here. Maybe you'd start off, let's see, today is the 16th of,
yep.
of June.
Yes.
And we're at the Concord Free Public Library, and the sun has come out.
Yep. Finally. Yeah, it's been a long time, it seems like.
Yeah. Can you say my name is?
Okay, my name is Nick Boynton.
And your date of birth?
It's January 24th, 1969.
69. And would you maybe you'd start off, tell me a little bit about your people and where you were raised.
Okay, I was born in Concord at Emerson Hospital. With the rest of my family, both my parents were born at Emerson. All my siblings were born at Emerson with the exception of one brother. But I have two brothers and a sister. Both my brothers live in Concord. My parents still live in Concord. Was raised in Carlisle up until the age of 13 or 12. And then we moved back to Monument Street, Concord. And again, both my parents had been raised in Concord, so it was kind of a dream of theirs to be back in town.
Were they from here, too?
They were from Concord, too, yeah. They
How
were both
far back
born.
Does it go?
It goes, my parents are the first generation that were born here. Both their parents moved here. But coincidentally, both my grandmothers were at Emerson Hospital having my parents at the same time, which is kind of not queer. It's kind of weird.
Cool.
Yeah. But we lived right downtown, probably 0.3 mile up on Miami Street. So I spent a ton of time while I was growing up in the center of town and at the schools, hanging around, exploring a lot. And my father worked in commercial real estate. Traveled a lot. In 1985, he quit his company and started his own. He started the Boynton Company, which was designed to do commercial real estate investment in town. So immediately at that point, I started getting interested in real estate. So I guess in 1985, I would have been, 14 or 15 years old. I'd been on business trips with him before, but I really took to being around Concord Center and understanding the buildings and the people who worked in town. So I guess I really grew up around real estate in Concord Center and, really kind of fell in love with the architecture of it and the use of the architecture. I mean, the different stores and how many conveniences there used to be. When I was little, there was, the convenience store, the drug stores, Woolworths was here at the time. And that's after I went to college. I went to New York. I went to Syracuse for college. And when I got back, started working for my father in real estate and managed kind of helped do construction, develop four properties right down in Concord Center. One was the Footstock Building, which is 45 Main Street. 32 Main Street was a building that our family owned. Tuttle's Livery we used to manage for probably 7 or 8 years. And Walden Grill we used to manage for a long time, which is on Walden Street as well. So I spent most of my days kind of going around town fixing, leaky roofs and really hanging around downtown. But it got to the point where it was time to buy myself a house and couldn't really afford to be in Concord. My wife and I found a great house in West Concord Center, and that's kind of when I got my introduction to West Concord. We owned a couple properties over there, but started spending more time in West Concord and really fell in love with West Concord and its potential and its character. And it seemed to me that over the period from when I was, say, sixth grade or 14 or 15 years old to when I was 20 or 25 years old, that there had been a big change in Concord Center where you kind of had lost your practical businesses and it was all more boutiques and real estate offices and banks, and there wasn't really the functionality that there used to be where you could just go downtown and kind of get what you needed at Woolworths, or you could go grab, not that I smoke, but you couldn't even buy a pack of butts and cigarettes in Concord Center anymore. You couldn't buy a pair of men's underwear. And that was one of the things we found that when you went to West Concord, it was really, really filled with stores that you really need in your everyday life.
Such as?
Well, you have your dry cleaning over there. You get your dog's hair cut over there. You would go to the post office, it's more convenient over there. You would get your meat over there at Mandrioli's. You would get your fish over there
at
Twin Seafood is the fish place over there.
I don't know any of that.
Oh, yeah. So there's just a lot more stuff. So it almost seemed like people who would call me about renting space in Concord Center, and you know, the rates have gone, I don't know how much you know about this, but the rates have gone from, I guess when I first started, the mid-20s per square foot up to over $50, $55 a square foot for space. And so people call and say, oh, we really want to have our store in Concord Center. And, you know, if it wasn't a boutique or a woman's clothing store, something that would fit in, I'd say, well, you're really probably much better off in West Concord. Because West Concord has turned into the place where a lot of people from Concord do a lot of their everyday shopping, to the point where my wife and I can do all our shopping in West Concord, you know, outside of a trip to Costco or whatever. But and we rarely come to shop in Concord Center. I mean, people come, there's a place called the Cheese Shop in Concord Center, which people love. But we don't really come over here unless we have guests that want to see the history, or, you know, go to the North Bridge or go have dinner at the Colonial Inn and get a piece of the history that way. So people are really coming over to West Concord a lot more. So there's a lot of great, and it's totally different. Now when you walk down the streets, I think in Concord Center, people are struggling to make a dollar because the rents are so high. And in West Concord, the rents aren't even half of what they are in Concord Center. So people are doing, not that they're doing better, but they're having an easier go of it, I would say. And they have regular business because they're selling things that people have to sell in a bad economy or a good economy, that people have to buy. So I think West Concord, from that sense, a lot of friendly people. Everyone knows your name when you're walking downtown. It's just a really, really friendly, cool spot. And what it doesn't have is it doesn't have the great historic architecture that Concord has. So it does have a little village. And so what I see happening now in the future, there's some different parcels that are really underutilized parcels in West Concord. There's probably 10 to 12 acres that hasn't really been fixed up yet or is underutilized as, you know, old manufacturing buildings.
That you own?
Some we're trying to own. We just bought some property on Bradford Street, the old Bradford Mills, which is about 75,000 square feet that we're going to try to fix up as office or residential space. But we're trying to buy more stuff in West Concord because we think that it just got so much potential down the road as a great place to raise a family and to be around. The first house that we owned was right in the heart of West Concord. It was at 41 to 47 Commonwealth Ave. It had a retail store on the first floor and then three stories of residential on top of it. So we rented out apartments and eventually sold them. We had triplets 5 years ago, so we couldn't raise them. There was no yard at this house, so we needed a yard. So we moved just outside of town.
Triplets.
Yeah, triplets.
My son's expecting twins.
Is he really?
In July.
Oh, wow. I thought he has first?
No.
He's got kids already. Well, see, we had triplets, and we have two more, and we've always been thankful that we had the triplets first because we didn't really know what we were getting into. And your son knows exactly what's coming. Times two, right?
Well, I don't know if the math works quite that way or not.
It's his own. He'd be going to his own defense.
Yeah. His own defense.
So anyway, yeah, at Boynton Company, as a company, we have a great interest in West Concord and trying to see that it gets fixed up and
This is your company, or you
own it? Well, it's my dad's kind of slowed down now, so it's basically just me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we sub out all our landscaping and snow plowing and sub out all that work. So it's really my dad and I are technically the company, and he's down in Florida most of the time in the winter and still is involved and, you know, really started the whole thing, obviously, and gave me my education, I would say, in real estate. But he's still a little bit active. But trying to do things, and I think there's a really cool opportunity right now in West Concord to develop West Concord so that it doesn't turn into a Concord Center, because we don't want, you know, I don't think that the people in town want West Concord to turn into boutiques and clothing stores. They want to keep the practicality of it It kind of has a funky feel to it. More artists are down there, more creative people. And I think there's an opportunity right now to work with the town, at least in the two properties that we bought, to really develop something that's good for us and it can be profitable for us, but at the same time something that everyone in the town is going to like and use. And I think so many times when you look around, people are afraid of the developer and what he's going to do to screw things up. And I think that you know, our approach has been, how can we do this and make some money, but at the same time do it right for the town, so that, you know, we kind of help change the face of West Concord without changing it too drastically.
Do it right for the town?
Do it right for the town. So that, you know, there's in West Concord right now, there's some spaces that are, one of the buildings we own, the rent is probably $8 a square foot. And, you know, that is unheard of in Concord. I mean, it's really, really cheap space. And that's where you have some carpenters and a guy who does some pottery and you have some karate studios or yoga places. Hopefully we'll be able to redevelop that stuff. And both these buildings need new sprinkler systems and elevators and new windows and new roofs. And I mean, they need a ton of work. So it's hard to do that amount of work and maintain the low rental rate. So we're hoping that with enough density, we can add a residential component to it, and either selling or renting those residential units might be able to enable us to keep the rents a little bit lower for the commercial users, because they're the ones who kind of bring the vibrancy to West Concord, these artsy type people. And that's kind of our focus right now, you know, is trying to do that stuff in West Concord.
Have you ever analyzed how, in your early lifetime, the whole thrust of the Concord Village or Concord Center, how that changed and why?
Yeah, I've never really thought about that. I guess I think Concord Center changed because it just got to be such a fancy town, and the house prices were going up and up. And I think if you look at the demographics, the retailers said, all right, we got some rich people in this town, and they can start buying $200 pairs of jeans. And I think in the old days, that it was more of a working town, and you had some money here, obviously, but people would go to Boston for that stuff, I think. And now it's, you know, it's a lot more convenient for people to have it right here. So I think that, you know, a few stores probably came in. I mean, a company called Bullfinch Properties bought Woolworths, which was an institution. I mean, they had you could go up and get a sandwich and, you know, a hamburger right there at the, you know, whatever they call it, a little soda fountain, and that was replaced with an art. It was split into four stores. It was replaced with an art gallery, a clothing store, a photography store, and I guess another clothing store, two clothing stores maybe. And it was a Boston company that came in and did it. And they didn't really care about the history of Concord and maintaining that mix of good users. I think that was kind of the start of it. And then other people said, all right, well, that works. So then, you know, rent started going up slowly to the point where it became a destination. I think you have a million tourists, plus or minus, that go through every year. And they, you know, have money to spend. And I think just with the demographic of the people who live in town, especially right in Concord Center, you know, it enabled landlords to raise the rent and enabled, you know, fancier companies to come in, and it pushed out the people who couldn't afford to be, you know, practical and pay them. You know, you can't sell men's underwear maybe and pay $50 a square foot in rent. Just, you know, maybe I just don't think the math works.
So you said a while ago that many people think, or people generally think, that developers, how did you put it,
I think that there's a worry that that with this underutilized land is so substantial. Maybe West Concord is maybe 12 acres in all or something like that, the kind of the village of West Concord. And there's about 7 or 8 of it that's going to be redeveloped at some point, maybe a little bit more. And everybody loves what West Concord is right now, and I think they fear that developers are going to come in and ruin it, and ruin, you know, what these people who live in town think it should be, which is, you know, it's not all the same building. It doesn't all look perfect. It's affordable rents. It's friendly. And I think the fear is that if someone came in and they wanted to do, you know, 200 condominiums or apartments, that now you're going to have 200 new people that don't really understand how it's supposed to work. They're going to have to, you know, be trained basically to how you act and behave in West Concord. Or, you know, if they're going to bring in the Gap, you know, people don't want the Gap in West Concord. So I think it's trying to, you know, our goal again is to trying to develop.
What about Walmart?
No room for Walmart. They would not want Walmart. I mean, even a bank tried to come into Concord Center, and, you know, it was just an uprising, another bank. It was going to be Citibank was going to come to West Concord Center a couple years ago.
An uprising?
Yeah, I mean, people, the whole town rose up and said, no more banks. We don't want any more banks in our town. Yeah, and it was an allowed use, and they signed the lease, and you know, they ended up pulling out because we don't want to be in a town where we're not wanted. So the town's very focused on what's going to happen in these different areas to the point, you know, there's been a West Concord Village study group. There's a task force now set up to analyze what's happening in West Concord. A master planner's been hired to lay out how high things should be allowed to be or how dense they should be. So there's really a ton of focus on West Concord because it's really the only spot in town where significant change can happen.
Do you attend all those meetings? Are you on those committees?
You know, I started being on the committees, and then I pulled myself off. It was called the West Concord Task Force, or the West Concord Overlay Committee it was, and I pulled myself off the board because I felt like I was suggesting things that I thought were great for the town but could be perceived to also be good for us since we were landowners over there. And it just seemed like it was... you know, while my heart is in the right place about what you know, what should be in West Concord, it didn't seem right with having my ideas, you know, saying, okay, well, I own this land. Here's what I think that land should look like. You know, it just didn't seem right. So I do stay in touch with those boards and, you know, whether it's a selectman or the planning board or this overlay committee. Some of the people are, one of our tenants in West Concord is the head of the overlay committee.
Overlay,
because the zoning overlay is what they're talking about doing to say, okay, well, in these underutilized buildings, we want to see more of this or that, and that's what they're in the process of determining right now.
Buildings that you own?
Two buildings that we own, and then there's another. There's several buildings in the village that could be redeveloped. So some we own, some we don't. But they're looking at West Concord from a whole. I mean, right now there's an old set of train tracks that goes through West Concord that they want to turn into a bike trail. So this task force is looking at, you know, where should that go through West Concord? How should it go through West Concord? There's a you know, the pedestrian circulation pattern isn't that great in general for West Concord. So they want to look at how more sidewalks should be implemented or more lighting.
Encouraging people to walk.
Yeah, encouraging people to walk.
Or bike.
There's a commuter rail station right in West Concord, so that creates big traffic problems at night because they're all trying to get back out to Route 2, you know, as fast as possible, so that jams up. So they're talking about some circulation changes for the roads potentially. So it's more than just the development of these properties that we and other people own, but there's other issues that they're up against too. You know, this bike path could have, you know, thousands of people on it every week, which would be great. I think it would be great for West Concord to have that many people, you know, going through our town. It would be a great place to stop and get an ice cream or a, you know, sandwich or whatnot. But there's just a lot of changes all seem to be happening at one time over there. So it's a, you know, interesting little area to be following right now.
A lot of balls up in the air.
A lot of balls in the air and slow to land.
It strikes me as a little unusual for somebody who's a. Do you call yourself a developer?
Well, we do development and property management.
Development and property.
Yeah, and you know, I guess what I'm trying to accomplish is I'd like to develop these properties and then manage them, and it would enable me to stay close to home because I live right in West Concord, and if we have these properties and if they work out right, you know, I could just be right in West Concord and I can go home for lunch and see my kids, or I can coach my kids in sports. And, you know, I don't – Boynton Companies kind of has a – it's not really an official rule, but try not to go an hour from Concord. You know, I don't want to be on a plane going on business trips to some other state to find a property that I, you know, can't really touch and feel or see every day.
But that's unusual, isn't it? Don't most developers operate outside of places where they were raised? Or
I think, yeah, it's a little tricky doing that. That's true because, you know, that's true. And, you know, I've always managed, I mean, in my career, so since 1992, I've been managing stuff and working in Concord or West Concord. And it's just been the thing I've been doing. So to me, you know, you have the opportunity to build relationships, and I know people in town, and you know the building inspector or the planning department, you know, and when, for me at least, when you leave town, now you got to go and you got to make those connections in other towns, you know, get to know the building inspector in other towns and the rules and how things, you know, how things go. And being a one-person operation, I think if we had more people working for us, we could say, okay, well, your territory is going to be over here and your territory is going to be over here. But for us, where we're just really a one-man show, it's been a lot easier for me to be right here in town. Now, that could change coming up here when this whole project in West Concord these kick off at some point. And, you know, can I really successfully work with the town, you know, so that they win and I win at the same time, you know, so we're not, you know, hopefully not fighting with the town, or hopefully the people in town aren't saying, you know, Jesus, I can't believe what the Boyntons are doing to West Concord. You know, they live in town and they're screwing it all up, you know.
Are people saying that now?
We haven't really made any plans yet, official plans, and we don't really even officially know. Both these buildings operate and care of themselves barely.
The way it is.
So, you know, given the attention to West Concord and this master planning process we're about to undergo, you know, our goal is to kind of work with the master planner and say, here's some ideas that we have that we think would work and that we think would be good for West Concord. And hopefully the master planner would be on board with those. And that then in turn, he could sell the town on, you know, why he thinks this is good for the town. So I think there's a fear out there. I think if you go on Yahoo groups and look up West Concord, you can hear some chit-chat about what we might do, or, you know, some people, there was a rumor a few months ago that we're going to put up, you know, a 4 or 5-story parking garage for the train, you know, which was not true, or that they're going to put up a regional mall, you know, which
mall.
Which is not true. So I think people are just nervous about what we might do. In one instance, Bradford Street, which is, it's 3 old mill buildings. You know, our plan right now is to just rehab that. And I think the town's going to love that, as opposed to tearing it down and building a, you know, underground parking garage for something really big. I think rehabbing, it's not a super old historic building. It's probably 100 years old or almost 100. And,
what kinds of mills were they?
It was originally Bradford Furniture or Allen Chair Factory. Originally, so they just built chairs and desks, and then it turned into Bradford Furniture, and then it was actually a binding, there's a ski binding company, Dover Ski Binding had it for a while, and then when they went out of business, the owners of that company just kept the real estate and just rented the real estate, and 2 great old guys, one who just passed away a couple years ago named Conrad Ulbrich, and his partner, Joe Collins, they own several of these underutilized, or did own several of these underutilized properties in Concord, in West Concord. And they had a great outlook on real estate. They wouldn't fix up their buildings at all. They wouldn't touch them. And they would say to a tenant, in fact, I would take them tenants, and they would say, well, they would look at the tenant and say, we don't give a shit if you rent it or not. And the tenant would instantly say, I'll take it. You know, it was just like their sales approach that worked. And they would say, we'll never throw you out. We're not going to give you a lease. We don't want a security deposit. Just pay your rent and don't call us. And that was an approach that worked for them, you know, for, I don't even know how long, 20, 25 years. And now they're, you know, well, as I said, Conrad passed away, but Joe Collins is in his 70s and thinking maybe it's time to move on. So we bought one of his properties and with hopes of buying a couple more of his properties that he owns in West Concord. But the way that they managed was so cheap, the rent was so cheap as a result of their approach to doing this, that it enabled these artists and these, you know, almost like incubator space to crop up because it was so affordable. You know, why not do a startup in something affordable instead of going, you know, to Concord Center and paying more in rent when you can't really afford it at the beginning of a, you know, starting a company, or if you're an artist, you can't afford high rent. And there, it's their approach to real estate that I think really created the funkiness and the, you know, I'd say coolness of West Concord. You know, there's, so I think it's one of the reasons why it's been so great is because those buildings never were fixed up. But now it's gotten to the point where they, you know, the fire department's on us about putting a new sprinkler system in, and that's a couple $100,000. So we need, you know, we don't have any ADA compliance, so we need elevators.
And it doesn't sound like there's been any maintenance done.
There has been very little maintenance, and depending which unit you go in, some units have been fixed up beautifully because the people have paid so little rent that they would just fix up their space with, you know, they just put money back into the building knowing they were never going to get thrown out. So some spaces are beautiful. Some spaces look like they've never been touched at all. But, yeah, it needs all new siding. It needs new windows. So this is all these costs that add up. And that's the trickiest part for us. We have to spend that money to fix the building up at some point, and you can't spend it all and keep the rent where it is. So we're trying to, you know, the goal, again, is to work with the town to figure out some ways where we can justify fixing those buildings up, which they need to be, you know, which needs to be done, still make some money, but still maintain as much of that, you know, funkiness or coolness that West Concord has.
You're a very, very unusual developer, I would say.
I don't know about that. I'm the only one I know.
I mean, aren't you really talking about buildings which are scrapers and would make much better condo sites?
They definitely would. But I think there's a balance. I mean, I think when you say I'm not a regular developer,
No, I said you were very unusual.
Unusual. All right. When you said I'm an unusual developer, I think a lot of times developers and bigger companies are up against, you know, bigger hurdles as far as what kind of returns they need to generate. And, you know, in this case, we don't really have that problem, not because we have a lot of money, but because we've gone to investors that are local people. And we've been up front with them and said, this is going to have, you know, very little cash flow at the beginning because we're just going to take our time to figure out what the right thing to do here is. And then we're going to also up front about saying we're going to work with the town to try to do something that's good for the town too. And so these are local people who understand what's going on in town. And they say, okay, well, maybe, you know, if you're a big development company, maybe you need to have this 20% annual return on your investment. And we can kind of say, okay, well, what works for us is, you know, is 14% going to be good enough for us? And it's just a deal-by-deal situation. So I think when you're a bigger development company, you have more, I just think you have more, you got more people to take care of. Yeah, and you gotta generate a certain return to keep your investors happy, or if you're a public company, you gotta keep them happy. And we're just so small that we can say, you know, at the end of the day, we can say, is this working for us or not? If this works, then we'll be happy with a 10% return, or we'll be happy with, you know, hopefully it's a 15 or 16% return, but we're not locked into a mode where we have to generate a huge return every single time. And that enables us, I think, to be a little different. You know, the flip side of that is these bigger developers who are more normal and not unusual probably make a lot more money than we do. But, you know, and my dad hates when I say this, but my goal isn't to be a gazillionaire or a billionaire or anything like that. I just want to, you know, I want to have a good business and, you know, work hard and be proud of what I do, but also to have as much time as I can with my family. So
your dad hates when you say that?
Well, he's saying, of course you want to make money. And I say, well, I do want to make money. It's not like I don't want to make money, but it's not my, you know, it's not really my number one priority. I mean, I need to be able to survive, and I'd like to be able to go on vacations. But, you know, the goal is to really have kind of a nice lifestyle and be in West Concord or in that area, and spend as much time with my family as I can and my wife. So a lot of other people are more driven to be, you know, we're going to go travel and there's a great deal in this state or there's a great deal I'm looking at down, you know, in Boston. And for me, it's I want to stay close to home. I mean, as a result, I get to drive my kids to school pretty much every day. We have dinner as a family basically every night. You know, I go to my nephew and niece's baseball games. You know, we just, it's enabled me to have a great lifestyle outside of work, which I think is most important.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So.
So as you look at West Concord 15, 20 years down the road, and, you know, maybe you've had a glass of wine or and your
right.
your imagination is not tethered to anything. What do you see? And how do you see it
shaping up? I think it's going to shape up. I don't know if you've ever heard of 40R. You've heard of 40B development? 40B development is something where it's a program through the state where a developer can take a piece of land and say, okay, we're going to put, you know, 50 condominiums here. And we're going to do a 40B project. And if a town doesn't have 10%, if 10% of the town's housing stock isn't affordable by state standards, then a 40B developer can come in and basically throw out all the zoning rules and say, we're going to go higher than I'm normally allowed to. We're going to have less setbacks than we're normally allowed to because 20% of the units he's building have to be affordable units. And the towns don't necessarily like that because they lose control of what things are going to look like. Mm-hmm. Concord is not really in that position. Well, they're not really in a 40B. They're not at risk of that too much right now because there's a big project that's pending that will get them over that 10% hurdle. But there's something called 40R, which is similar to 40B, except that it's got to be around commuters or within a quarter mile of a train station or a bus stop or public transportation.
This is 40B.
This is 40R.
Oh, 40R.
So it's a new version of 40. It's not that new, but it's a newer version of 40B. But it's really village oriented and density oriented.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah. And what happens is the state, so then you might say one of our properties, for instance, say, okay, we're going to rezone this as a 40R property. And then you work with the town to say, okay, well, what are the different zoning changes we're going to make for this property once it's 40R? And once you agree on that with the town, then the town becomes eligible for state funds. So every unit that gets approved by the town for a 40R development, I think the town gets $3,000 per unit. Every unit that gets built, residential unit that gets built, they get another $10,000 a unit or something. They get pushed up on the state projects like highway projects if they're doing 40B, 40R in that area. But what it really is encouraging is it's encouraging more density in the villages so people can be walking, they can be commuting to Boston on the train. And there's the 20% affordable component to it as well. So you're also having affordable commercial residential space in the units. And my guess is that that's kind of what West Concord's headed towards is a little bit more height, probably, and you know more density. So it's a tricky thing because it's a small village and you got to balance your parking. You know, for businesses to be successful, I think you need to have parking. And one of the things 40R allows you to do is not have as much parking.
So they sort of waive that?
They waive that, or they waive the height, or they waive the setbacks, or they waive all sorts of stuff because it's really good for everybody. So I think when you go to West Concord, there's Bradford buildings, Bradford Furniture that we own, that are three stories. They're probably 40 feet tall. That I think that's going to kind of become the model for future development in West Concord. You know, I don't think they're going to want to see a bunch of townhouses springing up. But if you build more new mill-style buildings, because you can get your height, so you can get commercial on the first floor and some residential on the second, third, or even fourth floor.
What did you say the height was? I'm sorry.
Right now, the height limit's 40 feet or three stories. And I think I see West Concord going to four stories. So you have, if you can picture, it's called Commonwealth Ave, which is Main Street in West Concord. Those are all two- or three-story buildings right on the street front with retail. And then behind that are these underutilized properties. And I think that the town's going to say, well, why don't we go to four stories? Or I don't think they would go to five stories. So I see kind of maybe three or four new mill-style buildings cropping up.
Mill-style?
Mill-style, meaning they're just squares, rectangles, you know, like not even necessarily post and beam, but they would look like an old mill building. So it would kind of tie into West Concord being a mill village.
Well, what's already there?
Which is, and to try to match some of what's already there. And I, you know, so I see people living on the upper floors and you know, businesses in the middle floors and retail restaurants in the first floors. And by allowing the extra density, hopefully the commercial space will be able to maintain some sort of affordable level of rent. But you know, if you're just building two stories, you don't have enough density there to keep the rents low necessarily. So if you're saying, okay, well, if we can get 40 apartments or 40 condominiums that we can sell, you know, we can sell those, and that will offset our costs to the point where maybe we can keep our rent at $15 or $16 a square foot. You know, and so that we don't lose the characters that are currently in West Concord. You know, we want to keep those people around, I think, as much as possible. So I kind of see this a nice new village, not new village, but the same, maintaining what's there, fixed up a little bit, but then just a little bit more height behind it, more open space.
Where would the open spaces be?
Well, I mean, if you can hide the parking by doing it in a garage, there's a couple different scenarios, but one of the buildings we own is on, there's a place called Neshoba Brook, which ties into the Assabet River. And there's some area there where you could put a little park. Not when I say little, I mean, you know, pretty little, you know, 20 or 30,000 feet of space.
On the riverbank?
Right on a little riverbank, you know, and if you can get through natural resources and those people you have to go through, if you could clear that bank and have a place where people could drop a canoe in.
What's on the bank now?
It's all wooded. It's overgrown. You can barely see the river right now. We have a parking lot and then probably 20 feet of woods and then this little brook. I guess the other thing I kind of see happening in West Concord is, or what I think something that West Concord needs is reasons for people to go down there at night. Right now, outside of a few restaurants, and once the commuters leave, it's really, really quiet. So one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to buy a piece of land to build a community theater in. There's a local, it's called Concord Youth Theater, children's acting school or group that is looking for a place to build a real theater. So we found some land. So we're working with them to try to get that, and this is something we're going to have to run by this master planner. But we think that having a place where it wouldn't just be children's theater, you know, the Concord Orchestra could go down and do a performance there, or you could bring in, you know, different, like a James Taylor, well, probably not even James Taylor, but, you know, I don't want to say B-level, but, you know, you'd have 400 or 500 seats, 300 seats or something like that. So it'd be smaller, but you could have movies for kids on the weekend, you know, weekends, or you could have, you know, concerts, you could have ballet there. But it's a reason to get people downtown. If people are downtown at night, then the stores start opening up at night. More restaurants want to be down there. It's a reason for people to live in West Concord. So I think that's a really important piece of it, is to try to make sure that there's reasons for people to come to West Concord as it gets developed.
Are you interested in drama or theater yourself?
Well, we've worked closely. I'm not really, but the woman who runs it, I've known for a long time, and the woman who started it, I was friends with her son. But they rent from us now. In a little tiny theater that's not even a theater, it's just a commercial space that they've turned into a little theater. I just think it would really be great for the town to have something like that. Concord Center has something right over here where you park. I don't know if you park in the parking lot by Emerson Umbrella. I don't know where you've been parking, but right over there, there's a theater. And then there's something right downtown called 51 Walden Street, which is, it's not even really a theater. It's just a big, it's a hall, basically. But they do Concord, the Concord Performing Arts. I don't even know what the Concord Players, I guess they're called. They do their, that's kind of their home theater.
Is that the Scout place?
In the Scout House. No, it's Scout across House. The street and this way from the Scout House.
Oh,
it's a
okay.
white building.
Okay.
And as an example, when I was little, everyone used to go on Saturday mornings. They would run movies for kids at 51 Walden. So your parents would go downtown and do their shopping or drop you off there, and all your friends would be there hanging around. You'd watch the movie, and then your parents would pick you up, or you'd just hang around downtown, or you'd go to Woolworths and get an ice cream, or go to Brigham's and get an ice cream or something like that. Right now, West Concord doesn't have anything like that that's, you know, entertainment, I guess you could call it. Need some entertainment, you know. I think that just it would bring a lot of vibrancy down to the village. So that I guess when I'm drinking a couple glasses of wine 20 years from now, I hope I'll be going, you know, on my way to a nice performance by somebody down there and to have, you know, walk downtown and have dinner. And I think that that's really important.
So tell me more. What kinds of other activities will there be? Are we close enough to this library can serve?
You know what? There is a library in West Concord right now called Fowler Library, which is tiny compared to this, but they're undergoing a rehab or raising money right now for a rehab. So there is a library over there. I think the things that are missing from West Concord, again, entertainment type things, like there used to be a bowling alley in Concord. I think it would be great to have a little bowling alley. Ice cream is missing from West Concord. You can't get an ice cream down in West Concord. I think that would be great. And I think opening up the river, I think the river is such a great asset to any community. Having a river in your town is so cool. And to, you know, right now there's a place, I don't know where your friends live, but Southbridge Boathouse, which is a little further down this way under the train bridge, where you can go down and rent canoes, but you cannot walk to it. I mean, you got to drive to it. So, to have a place where, you know, if you can imagine, you're doing an interview with somebody, and then at lunchtime you go down, you grab a sandwich, and you rent a kayak for an hour, and, you know, just leave right from your office. I think that would be a real nice feature, to have this bike path going through, so you could just take off and go for as long as you want on a, you know, nice path through the woods.
On the old railroad?
Yeah, on the old railroad. It's called the Bruce Freeman Rail Trail is what they're working on. I think that's a great asset. And certainly having the commuter rail right in the village is a great asset. So you can, you know, if I go to a Celtics game, I just walk from my house, which takes, you know, 5 minutes, hop on a train, you're right at you know, Boston Garden, which is now the Fleet Center. But, you know, it's so convenient to have anything that makes it more convenient to be downtown and to the things that I'm going to be looking to try to implement in our projects.
Huh. Very unusual.
So.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
A family man, a young man who's got a solid background and thing called it, who doesn't want to make as much money as dad thinks he
wants to. No. Not to be misunderstood, I do want to make some money.
No, I understand.
it's just to have five, we have five little kids that are under the age of five. Or five and a half and younger, and to spend time with them is so great. And it seems like the triplets were, you know, just born a couple of years ago, but they're five, and the time goes so fast. And it's just, to me, it's not worth missing all that to go make an extra whatever it is, you know. So many of my friends who are in sales and travel, and they're gone, you know, two nights a week or three nights a week. It's just not the way that we want to do things. So this has been perfect for us.
Huh. Is there anything else that we should be talking about here?
I think that's about all I got today. All right.
Very interesting.
No, oh, thank
very,
you.
Very encouraging.
I hope.
I think a lot of people are concerned about
West Concord.
West Concord.
Yeah, they definitely are.
What directions it's right. going to go in.
Right. It's going to change. You know, I think the hardest part about it is that people don't ever think how much the developer paid for this or how much does the developer have to spend on this. You know, just saying, you know, the developer's probably going to do this and make all this money doing this or that. But they never, you know, they don't really step back, I think, to appreciate. You know, the guys who own this, Bradford Furniture is a perfect example. The guys who owned this building before us had no mortgage, had no money problems, needed no money. So if someone missed the rent, they didn't really care. They sell it to us for $5 million. And you can't be that way anymore. You gotta get your rent, you know, and you gotta be careful about what you do as far as expenditures, and you can't afford just to let someone miss their rent. You can't afford to, you know, spend money that doesn't need to be spent. You got to be smart about that. And when you factor in the things that we need to do, like a new sprinkler system or elevators or siding or windows, that's another $5 or $6 million potentially. It's expensive. And so even if we wanted to make no money, we still need a lot more rent than we're getting today. And I think that a lot of people in town say, you know, they don't really want to ask the advice, or they don't come to the developer and say, what do you guys want to do? It's always like, well, let's band together right now. We'll tell the developers what they're allowed to do. And I can appreciate their position in the sense that they're trying to protect what they love. But at the same time, we're the ones who spent the money on it. And we're the ones who are going to have to spend more money on it. We're the ones who pay real estate taxes to the town on it. And we're the ones who are on a loan for it. So, I mean, so I guess what you're saying is a lot of people being scared. I appreciate that. But at the same time, I think they have to...
Concerned.
Yeah, if we can work... Yeah, concerned. If we can work together to, you know, try to figure something that's good for everybody, then I think everyone can win. And that's the goal, and you know, maybe if you come back in a couple of years, you can find out if we were successful or not.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a departing question for
okay.
you. As you look around Concord, being a third generation person here, and you probably know Concord and its environs like the back of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about that's happened in the past 25 years around the Concord area that you think gives development a black eye? Do you see things that you feel are problematic or in bad taste detrimental in any way? Or do you know what?
I don't think anything like that's happened in Concord. I mean, there's been some controversial projects. But I think it's more that people look outside and they see, like you had mentioned, Walmart earlier, or Costco, or Home Depot, and people are now starting to see the effects that these big box stores are having on the local people, or local retailers and businesses. And I think it's kind of that people are taking the attitude saying, this is not what we want in our town. So I think people in this town who are educated and aware of what's going on around the country see these things happening, and they just say that we don't want to let that happen in our town. And as a result, they're very cautious and, you know, nervous a little bit about that happening. Now, I guess the other misunderstanding here is Costco doesn't want to come to Concord. You know, it's there's no place where they could fit. There's not enough people here. There's not enough traffic here. You know, the Gap doesn't want to come to Concord because there's no traffic here. So a lot of their worries are kind of unfounded, but.
But what about the destruction of historic properties, and what about the building of excessively large houses and that kind of thing? How does that grab you?
Well, I mean, I I don't know if you've been to a historic meeting since you've been here with the historic districts.
No, I haven't.
It is a nightmare. And I think that the town and the historic districts have done an unbelievable job maintaining the historic areas of Concord. So physically, there's no change in what Concord Center looks like from 20 years ago to today. Virtually, I don't think anything really has changed.
But what about some of the residential community?
And the residential stuff, again, downtown in the historic district where it really matters. Not that it matters. It doesn't matter other places. The stuff you can see when you're a tourist and when you come for a slice of history here, all that stuff for the most part has stayed the same, and they've fixed up and beautiful houses. And then you're right. You go up further out of the village, and you get to some areas where there's bigger land and some mansionization going on.
Is that cool? Mansionization? I hadn't heard that word.
Mansionization. It's not that it's, I don't know if it's cool or not cool. When you get, to me, if it's on the right piece of land, if it's on a big enough piece of land to justify it, then what's the problem with it? If people can afford to do it. And if you're talking about, you might pay $500,000 for a half acre lot to build a house on. Well, if you're a developer, I don't do this kind of development, but if you're a developer, you need to be able to sell that house for, say, $1.3 million or $1.4 million, because it's going to cost you $600,000 or $700,000 to build a house. So you need to get some size in there, to kind of justify doing that project overall. You can't pay $500,000 for a lot and then build a house and sell it for $500,000 or $600,000 or $700,000 because you're just not going to make, you won't make any money at all. So there are some neighborhoods, some small, quaint little neighborhoods around town where some bigger houses have gone up, 4,000 and 5,000 foot houses where there used to be a 2,000 foot house. And there's two arguments to it. One argument is that it increases the land value for everybody in the neighborhood. It's kind of bringing up the value for everybody. The other argument is, I think when you think of these people who live in these different neighborhoods, they had a tight-knit community, and sometimes the people who can afford $1.3 million don't want to hang out with the people who can afford $600 or $500. And so it kind of screws up the neighborhood, and I think the chemistry within the neighborhood gets screwed up a little bit. And I think that some people resent that happening in their neighborhood.
But it sounds like you're on an entirely different track to create a village with density that has diversity of incomes,
right?
And
yeah. There's really no mansionization or that issue within the village itself. I think it's all kind of pocket neighborhoods. I mean, if you drive down, there's a neighborhood called I call it Southfield Circle, but it's past a train station, a little towards Route 2, and it's just this little pocket neighborhood. It's a little U, probably has 60 houses in it, something like that. You can walk to the train. You can walk to the grocery store. You're going to a brand new elementary school if you live there. And it was built, I don't even know when it was built. It was probably built in the 40s or the 50s. So there's these small capes for the most part. And they're selling, and they're small. I think the village zoning is quarter-acre zoning when you're in the village for a house. So this neighborhood now is completely being turned over. One by one, these houses are being sold. People are tearing them down and putting up bigger houses. But it's outside of the village. I think the village is always going to have, I'm trying to think of another example. West Concord's never going to generate the money. Well, not never. There's a lot less people willing to spend $1 million for a house in West Concord where that's starting price in Concord. And it's the same town. So, don't quote me on those numbers, but we built 58 condominiums in West Concord a few years ago, and we looked around and we said, okay, well, the average price per square foot for a condominium is about $350 a square foot. Well, there's one over here in Concord Center called Mill Dam Square, old schoolhouse converted into condominiums. They sell for $450 a square foot, something like that. I mean, $100 a square foot more. They're old and they're tired. But there's something about being, people like to be in Concord, and West Concord's not the same as Concord. So, you know, what we're hoping is that, you know, it's going to be, you know, we're not going to build $1 million apartments, you know, that they would be, you know, maybe at the highest end would be $700,000 for a big, big apartment, you know, something like that. But we, yeah, I'm not going to encourage what's happening in that neighborhood I was just describing, the mansionization. I don't want to change the, you know, the feel of West Concord. And I think if you start bringing in $1 million houses into the village, or even $1 million apartments, that that's going to bring in some people who don't aren't going to have the right chemistry, I think, to be part of that. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just it's, I find it unusual that you're hip to this. This thing called chemistry.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, I do live in town, and I like it the way it is. And if I want to work happily in town, I think it's the smarter way to go, you know. And I
do you face hostility or opposition as it is now?
You know, we don't have anything right now that's being presented or in the limelight right now. We're just kind of waiting. So these two projects, but no, I haven't. You know, people will call and or I'll see people and they'll say, oh, I heard you're going to do this. And I say to all our tenants, if you hear something, call me and ask me. And my office is right down in West Concord Village. So, you know, I go out to the post office at a lunch. I mean, people are welcome to come talk to me. And I am very open about what we're trying to do because, I, you know, but I think there's people in the background who think we're going to screw it up somehow and don't believe what we're saying. And there's nothing, you know, I don't waste my time trying to argue with that. I mean, all I can do is my best, and, you know, that's it. So I don't really experience any hostility per se right now. So we'll see.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, hey, thank you very much. It was nice to meet you.
A real pleasure to talk
yeah.
to you.
Thank you.